Is it good housing news or something else?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, it's the Morning Open. Hello, I'm Steve Chiotakis. A few minutes into trading, we're going to ask that question, where's Wall Street? The S&P is down about a third of a percent. Same for the NASDAQ. The Dow off now 7 points, 10,189. European shares are slightly lower as well, about 0.4% for the FTSE in London. And Asian shares lost 2% today, concerns about tighter reins on lending in China. Home prices were up in a majority of the nation's 20 largest markets. The S&P Case-Shiller Home Price Index for November nudged upward month to month. But the index is still down more than 5% over the year before. Julie Neiman is an analyst at Smith Moore & Company. She's with us live this morning from St. Louis. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Steve.
So what does this tell us about the housing market?
Well, probably you're looking at, has the housing market really bottomed? You know, the used home sales plunged nearly 17% in December, but the Case-Shiller news, this is a case of not grim news, is great news. Prices are still declining nationally, but the pace of decline is slowing. But where do we get the bounce? Well, it's a half-off sale out there in California, and people are trying to buy houses again. And across the nation, most of the housing prices didn't hit super bubble prices. If you look at the bubble spots, Florida, Nevada, Arizona, it's still really bad there. We're only at 2002 prices. You have to get back to 1999 prices.
Now, how do rising home prices? Now, I'm thinking rising home prices. I see 14 out of 20 major markets across the country. How can that equate to bad news, though, or not so good news?
Well, the good news is we have low interest rates. There is housing demand out there. And when people really see good bargains, and of course, you have to keep in mind, we still also have that tax credit coming forth for the first time home buyers as well. All of that is giving us a little bit of stimulus in terms of picking up some of the inventory that happens to be out there. We just have so much inventory coming, though. And the huge problem is the banks are not foreclosing right now. They're not being kind and generous. They don't want to take the write-offs. And they can't sell the houses that they're holding in this shadow inventory. Anytime there's any pickup in demand, they push more out into supply. Yeah. That's going to take it down again.
Julie Neiman, thank you.
You bet.
In his State of the Union address, President Obama will reportedly seek a three-year freeze on domestic spending starting in 2011. It's an effort to reduce the $1.4 trillion federal budget deficit. Less than a quarter of the budget will be targeted, though. Encouraging news for those with political or business power. Communications firm Edelman will present its annual trust survey at the World Economic Forum in Davos tomorrow. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is with us live to talk about it. Morning, Mitchell.
Good morning, Steve.
Now, this same survey last year showed people's faith in leaders plummeted during the economic crisis. Things better now?
Well, they're not better for the most PR-challenged sector of the economy. That's banking and finance. They already have big distrust and anger problems with the public from bonuses and bailouts. Trust in bankers in the U.S. is down to around 30% now. It was nearly 70% 2 years ago. It used to be the third most trusted industry. Now it's down at the bottom with insurance.
And what about the rest of our institutions? Government, businesses that aren't banks, the media?
Well, the media has also suffered. Trust is at all-time lows. But other than that, confidence is returning in the last year. In the U.S., we saw more than half of people trust businesses to do what's right. We trust CEOs more. We also trust non-governmental organizations more. And perhaps most important, trust in government. It's actually been going up steadily since the recession began, and it's now at nearly 50% nationwide.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman with this. Mitchell, thanks.
You're welcome.
And this week, Marketplace's Stephen Beard will be reporting from Davos at the annual meeting of the World Economic Forum.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, offering cloud computing for businesses with solutions for managing the transition to the cloud while managing costs for customers at Microsoft.com/cloud services. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by MassMutual, for 158 years providing policyholders with solutions to help meet their financial goals at MassMutual.com.
A week ago, Massachusetts voters elected Republican Scott Brown to fill Ted Kennedy's longtime Democratic seat. Now it's become a lot harder for Democrats to get an agenda through Congress. Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich is with us this morning to look ahead. Morning, Bob.
Good morning, Steve.
So now, after the last tumultuous week, is health care reform dead?
Well, something will be enacted that the president can call the first installment of health care reform, probably including regulations of the health insurance market, such as stopping insurers from denying coverage on the basis of pre-existing conditions. Democrats remember what happened in 1994 when they were in power but failed to pass any health care reform bill. Now, the problem is Republicans remember it, too, which means Senate Republicans won't give that 60th vote without a huge fight. Senator Olympia Snowe could still be the dealmaker.
And what about other items on the congressional agenda, such as the cap and trade?
I'm afraid no way. The drop in public support for the health care bill, combined with a growing anti-incumbent mood, is making Congress even more gun-shy than usual.
And what about financial regulatory reform?
Oh, that's looking much more likely, Steve. The lesson Democrats took away from Scott Brown's victory last week is the surge of populist anger among voters. But it's hard to act populist without a target for your indignation. Now, Tea Partiers and Republicans are targeting big government. So the easiest target for the Democrats are the fat cats on Wall Street, as the president called them. Problem is, there's no agreement in Congress on what should be done, and the president's proposals, you know, for limiting the size and riskiness of banks and what they can do if they have secured deposits are still on the drawing board.
Well, speaking of the president, what's he going to say in tomorrow's State of the Union address?
Well, I don't expect him to be contrite or defensive about where things are right now, Steve. My betting is we'll hear about some new initiatives to jumpstart jobs and a commission to devise ways to reduce the budget deficit. The president will also reaffirm his commitment to health care reform and reforming Wall Street. The most important thing he has to do tomorrow will be to connect the dots and give Americans an overall vision of where he wants to take the country at this point. And so far, he hasn't done that, and that has hurt him.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich and professor of public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Bob, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
In Indiana, a man and woman are reportedly knocking on doors asking people for $52. Help, they say, for a state representative to save electricity. Nice gesture if the representative's office knew about the plan. Police say if you want to help save electricity, turn off some lights. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.